Welcome, friends, to the Generations Broadcast. This is Kevin Swanson, your host, broadcasting from Grants Pass, Oregon. And with me is Richard Emmons, a homeschool father of four. He's had 25 years of experience in business administration. His heart is to encourage and empower homeschool families with a new website called homeschoolerbiz.com. And the idea is to prepare our families for a more family-integrated economies, but also to prepare our young people to be more business savvy as they get out into a rapidly changing business marketplace today. Hey, Richard, welcome to the program.
Hey, Kevin, it's great to be here today. Thanks for having me.
You know, Richard, I'll tell you what. Right now, you're looking at a 75% unemployment rate for 2011 college graduates. They're in 511% more debt than they were 10 years ago. That's in comparison to a 100% increase on household debt across the board in America. So you're not getting anywhere what you used to get. The market is changing rapidly. It's important today more than ever before that people have a sense for what's going on out there and how to engage the marketplace without relying entirely upon dumping your kid in college in 4 years and expecting somehow him to come out and get a job 4 years later.
That's exactly right. The return on investment in college isn't what it used to be, and people that are going to college need a way to pay for it, to stay out of debt. Mm-hmm. People need to understand, what are they getting into? Should they even go to college, or should they just start a business? They might be a lot happier just running a business.
Well, I'm so glad you're putting together the homeschoolerbiz.com. You've had many, many years of experience in business administration, marketing, in accounting, in successfully growing businesses here in Oregon and in the state of California. And now you want to carry on that know-how into the homeschooling market. How do you think the homeschooling market differs from other folks who are sending their kids off to public and private schools? I mean, what are we talking about when we're talking about homeschooling families?
Well, the best thing about homeschooling is that the students learn to think, and they learn to teach themselves. Mm-hmm. So part of the idea is that you can learn about business by taking courses, you know, reading information about it. You can also learn by running a small business yourself.
They have a lot of flexibility.
They have the time flexibility. Yeah. You know, homeschoolers that are in high school, they have no overhead. They live at home. Their expenses are covered. It's the ideal time to learn about business and to start a small business and start making some money.
Yeah. And if they start making money and you know, they're not necessarily in the books 4 hours a day, and they can perhaps study on a Saturday afternoon. There's so much more flexibility in a homeschool environment to, you know, they're lean, mean machines here, and we can adapt to what's going on. And if we're starting to, if the lemonade stand's starting to kick into action, and Junior doesn't have time to study his algebra this afternoon, that's okay.
That's an okay thing, because he's learning skills that are going to help him the rest of his life.
Sure, sure. Are you seeing successful examples of young people who are getting involved in business early on?
Yeah, I've seen examples. I mean, one of the great examples, you know, Nathan Sled with ZiplineGear.com, mm-hmm. he's been on your show before. He's an example of someone, a homeschooler, 15 years old, who started a business, and it's grown and grown, and now he's able to hire family members and friends to help him run the business.
Yeah. He's 21 years old.
He's 21 years old.
He's got millions of dollars of business going on in any given year at this point. I mean, this guy has really done well for himself.
He's done well, and he's enjoyed working with other people and mentoring, you know, other men to help him in the business. Mm-hmm. He's really the exception to the rule. Mm-hmm. For the most part, people don't know how to start a business. They don't know the components. What is a business? What makes up a business? How do I get started? And that's what Homeschooler Biz is partly about.
Well, we'll talk about some of the specifics in just a moment. Before we take the break, though, I want to ask you about some of the reasons why a family should study business. Okay, you're supposed to study reading, writing, literature. You're supposed to study your grammar. You're supposed to understand math, algebra. We know these are the basics. But why business? Why should students be studying business? And would you say this has got to be one of the basic elements of a high school education?
Absolutely. It's absolutely, because it makes it real and allows them to put into practice things that they've been learning. Like, if you know how to write, well, then you can learn copywriting and how to write advertisements. And that's a way not only you can help a home-based business or your dad's business or your own business, it could help you get a high-paying job after you graduate from high school.
You know, it seems to me that everybody's going to be involved in business at one level or another. Now, it's possible. There are some who will be involved in ministry. And ministry may be slightly different. But you still got people skills. You still got to be able to administer a church building. You still got to know something about how to handle people, how to administrate, how to manage, how to delegate. I mean, these things are very important, not just for our sons, but for our daughters as well. Now, imagine a daughter who's raised in a family somewhere in America, and they forgot to teach her about delegation, forgot to teach her about managing resources, forgot to teach her about delegation, about accounting, forgot to, I mean, can you think of anything more horrible as forgetting some of these basic elements to life?
That's right, because really running a big family, that's a home-based business.
Yeah.
I mean, it really is. It's just the product is you're taking care of, instead of customers, you're taking care of your children.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of the same skills, there is an overlap, and learning about the business helps them to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Helps
mm-hmm.
them to do that. And the other thing is that young ladies that have a job, when they get married and they become a young wife, that's one thing to keep the job. But when they become a young mom, then what do? If they give up the job, they lose the income. But if they keep the job, then they have to get a babysitter for their children.
And that's that poses our agenda, which is, hey, we're sick of the 64% of kids under 6 being latchkey and 70% of young men under not growing up by 30 years of age, up from 30% in 1970. We've got a humongous problem on our hands because parents aren't raising children in the present day, and it's destroying the character of the nation. So somehow we've got to come home. We've got to learn to be mothers and fathers again. But it also involves raising our children with the savvy to work, with the knowledge base to get out there, start businesses, manage business, or at least understand what a good product and services is for the market out there.
That's right. And a lot of employers now, they don't want to hire people right out of college and
yeah.
don't have any job experience.
They haven't
spend
themselves.
3 or 4 years training them.
Right.
They want to hire people that are savvy,
right.
that can solve problems
right.
in their business the day that they're hired.
And you can't just go to college for 4 to 5 years, get out of college, and expect to have that job in 2 weeks. And expect that employers will help you to become productive in their workplace with that product or service that the market needs over a period of 4 to 5 years. And they're going to add to that college education another 4 to 5 years of training in order to make you a very profitable employee for that company. No, they want you to be a profitable employee before you get into the business because they don't have the capital to make you profitable over 4 to 5 years. So I think what you need from the time that young person is 16 or 17 years old is to train them to be profitable for the macroeconomy out there. And hopefully for many families in the entrepreneurial world, not just the corporate world, but the entrepreneurial world as well. The bottom line is they have to be working. They have to get out there and merge into the macroeconomy. And they may have to do that on their own dime.
That's right. That's right, because, the business employers don't have the time. It's a very competitive market. The economy's not doing great. They don't have time to hire people and take months or years training them. If you're going to be an employee, you want to find out where in the business you can do the most good for the employer and on what's best for you for making money and earning a living and providing for your family.
Mm-hmm.
So the more you know about business going into a job, the more you can help that business owner succeed. And if you run a small business while you're in high school, you can go in and speak as a former business owner because you've been there, you've done that.
All right, Richard Emmons here, 25 years plus of experience in business administration, marketing, and launching good, successful businesses, even in recessionary periods, as is the one that we are living in right now. In just a moment, we want to talk about some of the components of a successful business and what's the basic curriculum you want to convey to your homeschool, high school students. That's next on Generations. My name is Kevin Swanson. Be back in just a moment. And we're back on the Generations Radio broadcast. Kevin Swanson here. Also, Richard Emmons, a homeschool father of four with me, a man who's been involved in business for a long, long time, but also a man who's put together so many family-oriented, family-integrated businesses for his own family as well as for others. And, Richard, you know, as you look at the economy today, you have to admit that we are certainly experiencing a massive transition in our present-day economy. I mean, this is not the economy of the 1980s and 1990s. Since about 2008, 2009, we've been in recession. It's the most serious recession that we've experienced since World War II. And we're not out of it yet. In fact, it looks to me like we're going for a double dip. That's what the Wall Street Journal was saying recently. I think Fortune Magazine as well suggested that we're just headed for a double dip. It does not look like the present recovery is going to work for us. So, at least for the time being, we're looking at a transition in the macroeconomy, which means we can't just depend on everything that's happened up to this point to get our children into the economy and get our boys working so that their wives can work with the children and so forth in the daytime. We have to do things differently.
That's right. It truly is a different world. If the young men that are listening, if they want to provide for their families in the future, they have to be able to have a higher income than in the past. And they need to understand about business to know where they might fit into an existing business or starting their own business to provide for their families.
Mm-hmm. Colleges ought to provide warnings about what they could experience, what these young people could experience if they spend $80,000-$100,000 getting a degree and then they're jobless when they get out.
Yeah, it's a totally different market. You know, college costs so much more money. There's so much more debt. It's so easy to get. You can get credit cards, college debt. And if you drop out of college, that debt is all due and payable. You can't get rid of that debt. It's like IRS debt. You can't get rid of it. You have to pay it off. And people that have too much debt, I mean, I've read stories where it makes them, you know, less eligible for marriage because if a young woman had $100,000 in debt, you're marrying her, you're also marrying that debt.
They're also far less likely to buy any cars, they're far less likely to buy houses, they're far less likely to get jobs, they're far less likely to do a lot of things because of their debt situation. So the debt is not helpful at the beginning of a life. In the present day economy. So the other option is to get them busy at 14, 15, 16 years of age. And we've seen many successful stories with this has happened. Now, first of all, this is fun. I mean, this is not like, we're imposing something on families that is just ugly and difficult and horrific. But this is really a great opportunity for many, many families to see themselves as a entrepreneurial machine, and they can get out there and they can begin to get involved in the economy with some idea or another.
That's exactly right. They start a business, they're closer to the economy, they can help serve people in their local community, they can earn money while they're doing it, they're helping other people, and they're providing jobs for the kids and the family.
And Richard, I found something interesting, that the average young man, say 14, 15, 16 years of age, you gave him an option. You can sit here and study algebra all day, or you can get involved in this really neat business where you're going to make money, and you're going to have an opportunity to meet people, and it's a little bit challenging, but you're going to be able to provide a service or a product that is going to hopefully beat out the competition down the road. And see, again, it's that innovates a lot of young men. They go, "Well, there's competition here. You mean I can beat out somebody else? You mean it's like a game where you get to try to beat somebody in terms of your price, your service, your product, and engage a marketplace and make money to boot? Wow, that sounds like so much more fun than sitting here studying algebra all day long."
That's exactly right. There's nothing like knowing that you're writing a sales letter that you're going to mail out, and you're going to mail a letter out, and if people like what you wrote in that letter, they are going to send you money.
Yeah.
That's an exciting thing. They're going to hire you to provide some service for them, and you're going to make money.
What are the basic elements to a good business education for the high school student? What would you say has got to be part of that curriculum?
Well, they need to understand the basics of what makes up every business. It doesn't matter if you're a lemonade stand or you're Walmart. A business is made up of three main components: sales and marketing, which is what attracts customers. Then you have operations, which is delivers on the promise that's made during the sales process. And then lastly, you have administration, where you pay your employees, you pay your vendors, you pay taxes to the government. You take care of the back office of the business. Those are the three legs of any business.
Okay, my son has been working on a window washing business. Now let's put some feet on what you just said. He's starting out the window washing business. There are three components to the window washing business. How does he address each of those three components as he launches his own business?
That's right. Well, the marketing aspect would be he has a flyer, and it says that I wash windows. Here's my name and my phone number. I guarantee my work. If you're not happy, you don't pay. That's a flyer. That's marketing. He hands those out to a bunch of businesses, and then he calls them up later. He stops by and says, hey, did you get my flyer? That's sales. The ones that's,
what if he's afraid to do that?
Well,
is he afraid of marketing? See, people are afraid of marketing. That's probably the one aspect. People aren't afraid of counting the cash and making the deposits. That's administration. But marketing tends to be the part people are afraid of. Well, why would you be afraid of marketing?
Well, because there is a certain amount of rejection involved because they can say no. You know, Daniel, I don't want you to wash my windows. So he would then move on to the next business.
Okay, so you got to humble yourself.
You got to humble yourself. It's never 100%.
And there's some risk.
And there's risk involved.
Yeah.
There's risk involved, but Daniel's a one-man business.
Yes.
He's going to go out and he's going to find people that need to have their windows washed. That's sales and marketing. The second part is the operations. That's when he actually has his squeegee and his buckets and the soap and so forth. He's washing the windows. Many people think of business, they think of just that component, but that leaves off the sales and marketing, which is how you get customers. But you got to be really good at operations. You have to deliver on the promise.
And hopefully find ways in which you can beat the other guy by getting creative. By finding ways to do it perhaps faster, but better. You're looking at quality and quantity. And whether it's product or service, you're always getting back to quality and quantity. Can I get this person the best quality at perhaps the fastest implementation at the best price? And if I can do that, then what have I done? I have taken dominion. I have made a customer very happy. And I have hopefully made a little income for the family economy in the process. And this can be a God-glorifying endeavor.
Absolutely, because if Daniel gets that client and month after month after month, he does a consistently excellent job, the people are going to look at him, know from talking to him that he's a Christian, and say, wow, that's a reflection of what he believes.
Right.
And that's operations.
Right.
That's getting the job done. And then administration is using QuickBooks or another accounting program to keep track of your customers, send them invoices, make deposits, and put them in the bank. Now, Daniel can do all three of those things.
Okay.
When he's getting going, you do all three. But over time, you start to find out that, you know what? What I really like, let's say, is going out and talking to businesses. So I'm going to hire somebody to wash the windows. Or Daniel might decide, you know what? I really enjoy the washing the windows part, talking to the customers. I'm going to hire somebody to go hand out the flyers, and I'll pay them every time they find a customer for me. And then when it comes to QuickBooks, maybe he hires one of his sisters to take care of all the bills.
Yeah, he's done all of that. he understands how to hire. He loves delegation. That's a big part of my son's business acumen. But, you know, Richard, you have to be successful at all three components, don't you? And you have to be faithful in small things. If you got a young man, okay, 15 or 16 years of age, and I don't care if it's a lemonade stand that's pulling in $378 a year, okay, or a window washing business that's pulling in $6,476 a year. If he does the marketing right, if he produces products and services well, and he yields happy customers everywhere, and he's got good administration over all of that, all the way down to his taxes, where he submits his taxes and he hasn't made any mistakes, so no IRS audits.
Yep.
If he's done all three components for that lemonade stand, raking in $378 a year, he's ready to move on to more. And you know what? A prospective father-in-law or his father can be satisfied that this young man is ready to move on, and he may be able to handle a $476,000 business in the year 2025.
Absolutely. We don't despise small beginnings.
Right.
And when you start small, you can do it all. You have to do it all. You understand all the components. Now, another aspect of the curriculum would be it's really applied writing. I mean, the idea of writing, you know, a good advertisement is a way that you use what you've learned in terms of writing paragraphs and how do you make a good headline? What makes an effective advertisement? So you need to do that because Daniel could give out 1,000 flyers and get 10 customers or have this, you know, great flyer. He only has to hand out 100 flyers to get 10 customers. So he's learning to save money, get the same number of customers off of his efforts. So you're applying what else you've learned in class. If you're pricing your product, you're using the math. It all ties together in a business because you have to tell people this is how much it's going to cost to do my service.
Richard, what do you tell the families to say? You know, my son's just going to work in a very narrow area of expertise for a very large corporation, and he doesn't need to know anything about business. He doesn't need to know about administration and marketing. All he needs to know is that little slice of expertise where he works on the 26th floor of some gigantic corporation in New York City, and he just works on a tiny, tiny, tiny little sliver of the product or service that company provides. What do you say to that family?
Well, I would say to that family that something that I learned a long time ago is that everyone is self-employed, but most people only have one customer. And if you're on the 26th floor, you have one customer, and they decide that, you know, there's somebody on the 25th floor that can do it faster or better, you're gone. You lost all your customers right then and there.
Wow. This is basic. This is like the way we used to sell speech and debate in high school. You did a lot of speech and debate, and I know you administered that quite a bit down here in Southern Oregon over the years with homeschool students here. We always said rhetoric, speech and debate, very important. Everybody's got to learn to communicate. Doesn't matter where they are, whether it's business, in ministry, or what have you. You got to be able to communicate with others, motivate others, integrate with others, form teams, you know, accomplish projects. You have to know how to speak. That's basic. Rhetoric is basic to life. So learn to speak. But now, see, marketing and administration is basic, too. It's got one of those really basic elements. Why have we been missing this?
Well, I think part of it is the reason people do hear the word sales and they panic. They don't want to be a salesman. But if you think of that, it's just persuasion. You're trying to help another company or an individual to purchase something that you're selling.
It's really applied rhetoric.
It's applied rhetoric. Yeah. It's what it is. And if you're in a situation where it's really competitive, well, if you've been in debate and you know how to, you know, you can see what the other person's strengths are, the other product are, and you know how to overcome objections, and you can persuade them. You're not going to persuade them 100% of the time, but it's applied rhetoric. And those are the jobs that can earn the best returns. If you're going to work on the 26th floor of a big company, if you're in sales or in marketing, you can make more money than in other positions.
Now, Richard, you've done this with your own family. You've had four daughters, and I think you graduated your last daughter recently.
Yes.
So, I mean, this is the end of your homeschooling efforts as a homeschooling father and homeschooling mom, in the case of your wife. What have they learned? What have they learned over the years? I know they've been involved in the band, in acting and producing motion pictures and other things. What have your daughters learned over the years in the area of business?
Well, what they've learned from the very beginning is how they've never gotten an allowance. They never just got paid. So we would pay them from time to time to do things around the house, but it was very specific. When they only had a guitar, I paid them 2 cents per dandelion to pick dandelions in my yard. And over the next 2 weeks, they picked 30,000 dandelions. 30,000.
That's a lot of dandelions.
That was a lot of dandelions. I wrote them, I didn't write them a check because they didn't have a bank account, but I gave them $600 for those 30,000 dandelions. They went out and they bought two musical instruments and formed the Emmons Sisters Band.
Yes.
And from that time forward, they used the earnings from the band to pay for new instruments, to pay to record CDs, to buy sound equipment so they could do outdoor concerts. They learned business by doing a business.
Are your daughters pretty savvy, would you say? I mean, three of your daughters getting married now. Are they pretty savvy? You think they're ready for kind of running a household business and running the household economy? Are your daughters prepared, do you think?
Yes, I do. I really believe that. Really believe that.
Praise God.
Yeah.
Praise God. What would you tell other families that are right now just in the throes of raising their daughters to be ready to be the oikos despoteo in the home? We use that word. That's the Greek word Paul uses in 1 Timothy 5 for young ladies. They should be oikos despoteos. They're the despots of the home or the managers of the home. And I picture these administrators, these delegators, these ladies who are on top of it. They're on top of it. They've got some vision, they've got some know-how, and they are not going to run that household economy into the ground. They know how to spend money, but they know how to make money, and they can manage that economy. What do you envision? I mean, give me the vision in your words.
Well, they're all, you know, very crafty in different ways. They're creative. They like making products and turning things. Whether they're teaching piano lessons, whatever it might be.
Right.
So they realize that they need to, if they're going to try to earn money, they can create a little business and they can earn money that way. Or they can become creative as part of a bigger business. They can earn money that way. And as far as running the home, they've shown me. They know how to run a household. They know how to, when they're buying, whatever they're buying in the grocery store and other places, because they've purchased things in the past for the band and for other aspects. When they raise dairy goats, they're selling milk.
Yes.
You know, they're doing different things. They're buying, they're selling, they're in the marketplace.
I have to say, Richard, you've got one of the most amazing family economies I think I've run into. In terms of diversity, in terms of some really fun projects. I get the sense that your family really had a good time.
They really had a good time. In fact, one of the neat things when the Emmett Sisters band is that we would get paid vacations because they would be able to play in festivals, and we'd go for, you know, drive up to Bainbridge Island, Washington, and stay in a nice hotel and so forth. We just had a blast. It was a lot of fun, and they enjoyed using their gifts to entertain others and put smiles on people's faces.
I know that, you know, you've got all this passion for what you've done with your own family and how you can convey this on to hundreds of thousands of other families across the United States. And by the way, they are hungry for this. We are expecting some 2,200 visitors at our Family Economics Conference coming up in Wheaton College, March 8th through 10th of 2012. And hopefully you can make it to that as well, because some of your resources will be very important to our families. But what do you want to do with homeschoolerbiz.com? What's your vision here?
I just want to help as many families as I can. I know that this economy, time is money, and more than ever before. The sooner you learn this type of information, the sooner you put into practice, the sooner you can add a second income to your family, the sooner the sons can learn to be providers for their families down the road.
Yes.
We don't have time to waste.
Amen. Amen. This is very, very important. In fact, I'm not sure we could be talking about anything more important than preparing the next generation to establish their own households for the sake of the kingdom of God and to take dominion and to get out there in a bad economy and begin to apply good, godly character, hopefully good, solid preparatory work that they got out of resources like homeschoolerbiz.com and get out there and create good, healthy economies, and enjoy the blessing of God in the process. Well, ladies and gentlemen, that's the vision, and of course, it's the family economics vision that we're constantly reaffirming on this program. Richard, I have to tell you, you've got some great resources, and you, of course, want to make sure that this thing, homeschoolerbiz.com, provides a community forum as well where families can all tap into this thing, and we can kind of share ideas, which, by the way, happens at our Family Economics Conference, but you're hoping that this is a 365-day-a-year effort, and people are constantly finding ideas, and of course, you absolutely need to be trading ideas in the area of marketing, in the area of administration, the specific area of producing the products and services and the operations in order to establish these businesses in the future. There will be so many questions. There will be hundreds of thousands of questions shared on your community forum as well. So folks, you need to stay tuned to this very, very worthy endeavor that Richard Emmons is working with. And again, folks, if you would like to be a part of this vision and you want to meet some of these folks who are producing some of these great resources, you need to come to our Family Economics Conference at Wheaton College. It's FamilyEconomics2012.com, by the way. If you'd like to register, we've got an early bird rate right now for families. It's very, very low. So if you want to get in under the wire for that early bird registration right now, you need to go to FamilyEconomics2012.com. Again, FamilyEconomics2012.com. It's time right now to restore the family, to restore our economy, and to do so by means of biblical principles. And that's the reason why we're doing this on an annual basis in some place around the country. We are packing these things out. We had to turn 200 to 300 people away at our conference in North Carolina last year. So this 2012 conference, I believe, will be packed out, folks, pretty quick. So you need to check out our FamilyEconomics2012.com for more information. Also, Richard Emmons' new website, homeschoolerbiz.com, should be online sometime here in the near future. Ladies and gentlemen, you can interact with the program by emailing me directly at host@kevinswanson.com. You can also hear the program anytime, anywhere in the world at kevinswanson.com. This is Kevin Swanson inviting you back again next time as we continue to lay down some pretty exciting vision for the next generation.